Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's show is entitled The Spirit's Power Over the Primordial Chaos Monster. Spirit's Power Over the Primordial Chaos Monster. In other words, Spirit's power over ruin and desolation. Now, it may be very interesting to you to note that the chaos monster has to do, of course, with the primeval environment, that is, the origin, as it were, of the universe. The chaos monster is pictured in the book of Genesis as reigning over ruin, as it were, chaos. And then in the book of Genesis, one reads about the extraordinary power of God over desolation. Over darkness, koshek, a word in Hebrew which denotes a darkness that is palpable, a darkness that can be felt. It is a very, very disturbing term, and it is also, it also points out in a very powerful manner what the Bible pictures as far as uncreation, as it were. We don't have an appropriate word for it. And so we use the word chaos. And the picture that we're given in Genesis 1 is that of Yahweh Elohim and his creative power, removing or undoing, as it were, chaos. The Hebrew verb bara is only used of God in the scriptures. Bara ha Elohim. And when we use this word, we want to talk about only what God can do. And so, with that, let me say that the psalmist also noted this term that is used for the chaos monster. And another term that's used in the scriptures is Rahab, and which we from Psalm 89. Beginning with verse 8. O Lord Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. Again, this is denoted in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, we read that the Spirit of the Lord brooded over the face of the roaring deep. And so we are given a very dynamic picture the presence of the Spirit of God over chaos. The Spirit of the Lord brooded over the face of the world is a picture of darkness and desolation. Verse 9, you rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. Verse 10, you crushed Rahab like one of the slain. With your strong arm, you scattered your enemies. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. And so, without a doubt, the Old Testament affirms the creative power of God and that the world is a result of the divine activity of creation. Later on, we read in the Genesis account that God formed the Adam from the Adama and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So the Adama is one Hebrew word for the earth, and there is Eretz, but we read that the Lord God formed the Adama. The Adam from the Adama and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. When the Bible speaks of the creation of the woman, then we read that he built it her. And it's a very beautiful picture because we read that God put the Adam to sleep, and then God took a tissue sample from his side with the same but with the identical genetic and racial properties as the Adam, and he built it, or he built it as the old word, then he built the woman. And it is and so we're given a very rich, beautiful picture. And so here we have anesthesia, here we have an operation being performed, and here we read about a tissue sample being taken from an individual here, namely the Adam, to put together a tissue culture in order to build the woman. Very beautiful picture. Now, I want to emphasize this because of what we are studying with regard to who man is. And what the relationship is that he has with God. The Bible is very explicit by when it says that the woman was taken, she was built from the man, from the tissue sample that God took from the Adam. And from this picture, we're able to see one, first of all, God's creative ability to area and the relationship that he wanted the Adam to have with Isha in Hebrew. Another name for the Adam is Ishen, and she is Isha. And so God put together this wonderful relationship. It is what he desired within the human family. This was his purpose. And so we move from chaos or Rahab, the primordial environment, and we read that the Spirit of God brooded over the face of the roaring deep, And then we read about the Spirit's power to begin his work over ruin. And so it is also indicated in Hebrew, Genesis 1, that the creative environment required radiant energy. And so the Spirit of God vibrated radiant energy over the chaos, the ruin, the desolation, because we find that in Hebrew it indicates that this was an environment of ice. And we read that the earth was void and without form, and darkness was over the face, kokshek, over the face of the deep. So the deep is a reference to chaos or Rahab, the face of the roaring deep. And so God broods over this picture of desolation, ruin, or death. And it is from the Spirit's power that life will emerge. It is from the Spirit's power, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And so the Spirit of God is the creative force that brings life out of darkness. And you and I know that once the temperature reaches a certain level, or there is no energy, cells cannot do the appropriate work, and things become frozen. You and I know that there can be no life, and that life requires a certain matrix or medium in order to be. The Spirit of God provided that. And so in the original chaos environment, there was certainly something called water. And it may not be what we think of today as water, but some type of liquid suspension had taken place or was in existence, let us say. And so God moves from darkness to light, from darkness to life. Now, a catastrophic event occurred in Genesis chapter 3. It has been historically called the fall of man. And the biblical material is careful to tell us that what happened moved man from life with God, life in Gan Eden, life in an environment in which he had a most wonderful relationship with God, and an environment in which God had provided everything for him, everything for his needs. And the presence of God was with him in a fantastic way. But in Genesis 3, we read that when the Nakash appeared, that is the shining one, with his antithetical message. Here is the beginning of theology, in that here were words about God, about God that began with the Isha. And so the Nekesh and the Isha are engaged in this encounter. And we read that the Adam will take, as it were, the fruit. And the Bible never tells us what type of fruit it was. And the Bible never tells us that the Nekesh was a snake. We read in Hebrew that he was the shining one. Now in Revelation 12, he is called that old serpent, the devil. And serpent indicates character, essence. In the Old Testament, the name denoted the character or characteristics about a being or his essential nature. So the old serpent, the devil. And that relationship, because of disobedience, the relationship that Adam and his wife enjoyed with God was cut through obedience. Now, mind you, that there was not absolutely cut, but we read that man had to leave the garden, but God provided for them. God provided coats of skin, animal skin, for them. Now, they were naked. They became aware of their nakedness, and they said that they were ashamed because they were naked. So they made aprons of leaf. But God came along, and God made them coats of animal skin. And this was redemptive in that now they understood that to protect them and their redemption would mean, and to cover them would require the life of another. And so it is through the blood of another that God showed his saving activity in the lives of the Adam and the woman. We are told very specifically in the scriptures that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Salvation, or literally rescue, in the New Testament really means to drag one out of danger. Now, the picture there also indicates that there may be a reluctance to be taken out of danger, but it means to drag one out of danger into safety. So this is the essence of salvation and what God is doing right now, what God is doing today for people, for persons. We are told in the scriptures that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. It is interesting that in John's Gospel, Jesus said, Jesus declares, I am the water of life. The I am reminds us of Exodus 3:14, in which the great I am formula is given to Moses. God says, I am that I am. Or literally, I will be who I will be. And it is a relational title given at that time to Moses so that he would understand that in this very powerful call narrative, God was giving Moses the assurance and the reassurance that he would be there for him to meet every need that he had. And so in John's Gospel, when the Jesus declares, "I am the bread of life," he takes that picture from Exodus 3:14, the great I am formula, ego I am. I am. I am the water of life. And you and I know the essential nature of water for our lives. And so this is neither a simile that Jesus uses, neither is it a metaphor. It is most certainly not a personification. He is most certainly not using exaggerated language. He is not overstating his case. But when you carefully examine the words that he uses, "I am the water of life," and picture in your mind the necessity of water, the intrinsic value of water, and so we are given the title or the identity, "I am," with a determinative word picture in which the individual is confronted with the deep meaning of his words. The individual is confronted in the sense that now that the Jesus has declared, that is, and we read this in John chapter 1, that he is the exegesis of God. He is the unfolding of who God is. He is the elucidation of who God really is. And so the I am formula gives identity, and then the water of life provides a determinative word picture for us. And so the individual is confronted. And here is the most powerful encounter anyone may have. And this calls for thinking, for meditating. So a decision must be made. And it is the Spirit of God who makes alive for us the words of the Iesu, because of the ruin and the desolation that has taken place in our hearts. Because most certainly the Iesu cannot be subjected to a syllogism or any other type of logical construct, because we would begin from a finite position trying to figure out or trying to put together a logical construct for that which is infinite. And so the Spirit of God opens our hearts and opens our minds so that we can receive the things of God. Joseph Chilton Pierce wrote a book a long time ago called The Crack in the Cosmic Egg. And it is the Spirit of God that that wonderfully provides that crack in a cosmic egg for us so that we might have an understanding of the power of the Spirit of God and the life that God wants to provide for us. And God will do it. God's Spirit is gracious. And God can move us out of the chaos environment, out of the environment of Rahab, out of the environment of Koshek or darkness that can be felt, into the marvelous light. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians that it is the Spirit of God that shines into our hearts to give us the glorious knowledge of Christ Jesus, because our minds have been darkened by chaos, by ruin. And so that which is intrinsic within the Spirit of God is able to take and create life, so that now we have a living and true understanding. He enlivens. He makes our minds alive to the wonderful reality of who God is and what God has provided for us through the living Christ. This is why this is so exciting to me, that we can have this wonderful awareness of the person of God in the face of Christ Jesus and see that to have a relationship with him meets our ultimate need, that thirst that we have for life, that thirst, that harshness that is within our soul, he is able to meet. The woman at the well in John 4 said to Jesus, "Sir, I want this water that I may drink." And Jesus declared to her, "I am that water of life that you seek." Through her many relationships and through her tattered life and the defenses that she offered to him fell away as she began to realize through the power of the Spirit of God that Jesus had not come to judge her or to tell her she was a bad person, but Jesus had come in order to assure her and let her know that in him and he alone was life, and the life was the light of man. It is gender inclusive. The life was the light of anthropos, both male and female. Today, if you so choose, you may have life in Christ Jesus. You may have life in God. This is the day, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. My name is Dr. Cy Ridge. Have a wonderful day. And I will see you next time on the MAPCast.